His Son to life. And so we're just here this morning. If you're a guest with us, we hope you will take it for what it is. Normally we're here talking about intents and matters of Christ and culture and all those kinds of things. This morning we're just kind of letting our hair down and having some fun. Is that right? I went online this week. I got to tell you this isn't in my notes. But when I was online looking at some different things, you know, one of the things I think I would advise you is don't spend a lot of time surfing the internet, because you will find all kinds of dumb stuff. And this week, I'm telling you, I want to know who these people are. I was on there, and I don't even remember what I was doing a search for, but I was looking for something, and I came across some websites that their whole ministry is trying to convince people, Christian people, other Christian people, trying to convince other Christian people that we shouldn't be joyful. Are you serious? Where are these people? What rock are they living under? I mean, and so they're going over all these verses in Scripture, why it's not right to laugh. Like the only verses about laughter are ones where it was done in a mocking sense and so on. I'm like, man, we need to pray for these. Can we just pray for them? Lord, for these folks who are so dire or dour about this journey you have us on, I'm praying they get set free, just like we sang about there. They would get set free and be able to find their joy and their life and their laughter and their contentness in you. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, I was so beside myself. You know, you read stuff like that, and then all of a sudden you think, should I be joyful? Should I be laughing? Oh, anyways, don't spend a lot of time looking at that stuff. It'll really help you. Anyways, one of the things I discovered is that joy and laughter is a mark, or should be a mark, of a life lived with God. One of the verses that has always stuck out to me was after, on Easter morning, on resurrection morning, when the ladies, you know, the first to go to the tomb were a couple ladies, because they were going to do some things to Christ's body, freshen it up a little bit. And as they were going there, we all know the story, they encountered some angelic servants of the Lord who were letting them know what had actually happened. And in the course, there's an interesting verse in all that in Matthew. It says, the women ran from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. And I look at that. Obviously, I think, you know, they were afraid because they just bumped into a couple of heavenly agents. So you got to wonder what that's like. But I think they ran away from that tomb with joy, because they had just received a message that was the greatest news they could ever have hoped to hear in life, that Jesus was alive and well. But one of the things I looked at this week was the word for joy there. I thought, I wonder what that word is all about. And so I looked at it, and it's actually a combination of two words. One we use in our culture, it's the Greek word megas. We get, like, if you go over to McDonald's and you say, I want it supersized or mega-sized, it's megas chara, which is the word. Actually, we, as part of the body of Christ, who consider we're under, kind of flying under the banner of charismatics, that kara is in there, which does mean grace, but it also carries with it an understanding of joy, happiness, exuberance, excitement, those kinds of things. So when these women ran away from the tomb, they weren't just like, oh, that was good. They were like, yes! Yes, in fact, megas can mean loud. And I wonder, when they ran away, were they hollering? You know, that we don't pick that up in Scripture, but I wonder to myself, were they hollering exuberant with joy? And so I just love that verse. They ran away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. All throughout the Bible, there's this kind of this thread of the, when the presence of God is really in the midst of people, there is a sense of joy and sometimes an expression of laughter. Even I might add, when people are going through difficult circumstances, you may remember a guy by the name of Job. I mean, he can't get much worse than what he went through. And even in the midst of that, you know, he had three buddies there that were offering him advice in which God admonished them, kind of rebuked them about. But in the course of some of that advice that they offered, what we see is a window into how they perceived God being in their midst. And this is what Bildad, one of Job's friends, says. He said, God, in chapter 8, he said, God will fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. So it was in their theology, it was in their understanding of God among them or in their midst, that God would do something in our hearts that would cause joy and laughter to come forward. A number of weeks ago, we were talking about Daniel and how, you know, they found themselves in captivity in Babylon, and there came an end to that captivity. And as they went back to Jerusalem and they found the city a mess, it was in shambles, and the time of rebuilding had arrived. And one of the things that Jeremiah had to remind his fellow laborers about is that the joy of the Lord is our strength. He had to keep exhorting them that it's because of God and we're no longer captive. We may have a mess around us, but we're free. And it's seeing what God is doing and keeping our eyes on that that fills our hearts with a sense of satisfaction and of joy. But one of the Psalms that was written during that same time period, they believe it was written by Ezra, who was another prophet at that time. Listen to this. This is Psalm 126. He says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. In other words, you know, it was kind of a nightmare. It was kind of a nightmare while they were in captivity. But now that they're out from underneath that captivity, it's like their biggest longings, their biggest dreams were now seeing fruition. And listen to verse 2. He says, our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. One of the marks of the early church, if you read on in the Bible, you'll find out that there were several occasions where the people who were seeking God were filled with the Holy Spirit. And on a couple of occasions, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and with joy. It's like that's what God wants to be a mark of our life, is that whether we're dealing with great circumstances, good, favorable circumstances, or negative ones, there is still this internal joy. And true joy is one of the greatest paradoxes of life. Because, you know, happiness, the way we understand it anyways, happiness usually has to do with, like, favorable circumstances. Like when people say, I want to feel happy, I want to be happy, what they're really saying is I want everything to go right in my life. Right? But real joy, true joy, is something deeper than that. It's a paradox. It's in spite of your circumstances. And this week I was reminded again that our brother Peter Madodo, who's over in Africa, he is a Kenyan. And a number of years ago when we were over there, we went to visit. Now get this. He named a part of his ministry over there, he named it Joy Baby Complex. And it's a place where a bunch of orphan children have a school there. Now, for those of us who've been there, there's a handful, half a dozen or a dozen of us in the room here this morning that have seen this place. If you and I, listen, it's horrific. The conditions, the environment is a mess. The whole town's a mess. The little cutout that they have there for this Joy Baby Complex, it's shacks connected together with a little open area there that the kids can play in. Now, the really cool thing about it, though, is is here are all these kids on recess at the school totally laughing and yakking it up because their joy, their excitement isn't contingent upon their circumstances. Joy is much deeper than that. And laughter is one of the ways that you can see and hear joy and happiness. It's the sound of joy. Isn't it cool that God made it possible for us to laugh? Are you sure? Boy, I mean, it's like a gift. Here, take this, have this, enjoy this, the ability to laugh. This morning, here we go, you ready? This morning, we would like to share a humorous look with you at what the pastoral ministry is really like. What it's really like. All right? Now, some have wondered, some of you in this room today, you have asked yourself this question, what do those people do all day? That's right. Especially when I've been told that we only work one day a week. And some people don't even call that work, okay? So some of you are thinking, what in the world do they do all week? And you know, some of you may be thinking, well, you know, their lives are kind of like, you know, after they're with us on a Sunday morning, they go behind some metaphorical curtain and they just bask in the presence of the Lord all week. You know, they're just in the Holy of Holies, just, you know, just wafting up the presence of the Lord, just smelling the smoke of His presence and taking it all in. And I do want to say to you that, you know, there are times in which we enjoy the presence of God. There are. But I want to also tell you that a lot of the stuff that takes place running an organization and tending to people is just ordinary stuff. It's stuff like you do. Oh, sorry. Now, before we get going with some of these things, I have a disclaimer, and I put in my notes, I have it underlined with 3 exclamation points. We're asking you, I'm asking you this morning, any of the clips that we show you, any of the stuff that we see, I know somebody is thinking to themselves, I wonder what they mean by that. I'm telling you straight up this morning, don't read anything into any of this. Don't be thinking, oh, they're talking about that time I came and talked to them at church. It's none of that. Trust me. There's none of that going on. So I don't want anybody to leave here this morning and say, they were making fun of when I come and just said this or did that. There's none of that going on here this morning. I promise you, none of that. It wasn't even in our remote thinking in putting some of this stuff together. These are completely fictitious in nature. Fictitious means pretend, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, so there are different aspects to the day-to-day ministry here at PCF. There's different things that go on. And in between things like preparing sermons and teachings and things like that and providing some pastoral care, there are other things that call for our attention. For instance, one of the things you may or may not know is that every Monday morning, about 9 o'clock-ish, we get together as a staff over next door, and we have a planning meeting. We have a staff meeting, and we take a few minutes to look at what just went on in the past week, and then we begin to project ahead about things that we need to do. So we just want to show you, I want to start by showing you a brief clip of our planning meetings and what they look like.
I just want to get together to find out what our weeks look like. I'm curious as to what you guys got going on this week. Obviously, I got to start working on my sermon. What do you guys got?
Well, I've got to get worship ready and some kids' church stuff, and there's some problem with the sound system. I got to check out a cable.
I was just wondering if you guys would consider having a care group for cat lovers.
Thank you.
Okay. So apparently this week I'm making an advertisement for the Cat Lovers Care Group. Are we doing that?
All right, just a little starter there. So every week we pull off to the side and talk about some of the things that we get requests about. And I got to honestly say, again, disclaimer, nobody has ever come and asked to have a care group for cat lovers. We've never had that. It's totally made up, but somebody will probably come around tomorrow and say, that was a really good idea. Is there any way we could do that? Okay, so anyways, when we have a planning meeting, we take a few minutes to plan the week ahead and so on. What comes out of that is after some strategic planning, we have to implement some of that stuff. We have to do some office type work to get the ball rolling and to move stuff forward, some paperwork. So here's a couple more clips about where things go after the staff meeting.
Oh, this dumb machine.
Hey, Les, how's those copies going?
This has become a real piece of junk.
Hey, Les, I need some copies made.
No. I think I'm going to order a new one. It's only going to be about $8,000.
I really need to finish this sermon.
Leslie! Leslie!
I'm not beautiful.
Leslie!
Oh, I just need to finish this one thing really quick. Pioneer Christian Fellowship. Hello? Hello. Why that always has to happen when I'm busy.
There's more truth than that than what you'll ever know. That's a lot of what it looks like. Okay. So anyway, so that's we've started the day, right? We've had a staff meeting. We've moved it forward to do some office type things, and without fail, there are always some maintenance-related type things that pop up. Watch this.
I don't need prayer, but the women's bathrooms are all plugged up again and there's water going all over the place.
Hey, I was doing prayer ministry this week and Diane told me that the bathrooms were plugged.
The phone's ringing for you.
Be there in a minute!
Hello? Hello? Hello?
There's nobody there.
Jeff, are you in here?
Yeah!
Hey, the phone's for you.
Not again! Is there actually anybody there this time?
I think so.
All right, I'll be there in a minute.
You got it. Hello?
Hello, Pastor Jeff.
Yes, this is Pastor Jeff.
Hi, brother. This is John from Synco.
Oh, hi, John.
I'm calling about a wonderful opportunity that you'd love to have that will increase your size of your congregation and possibly all the money that comes in.
John, listen.
Here's all you need to do, brother. is give us your credit card number, 12 of your other pastor friends, and possibly
your social security number.
I'm not interested. Listen, thanks. Have a great day.
Your congregation's going to suffer.
Hey, Pastor Jeff.
Yeah?
We just got a call from the guys doing the sign this week. They said they can't come. It still has the Easter stuff on it, so I thought we should change the sign. I can't do it right now because I have to deal with a worship conflict. I got some guys in my office right now.
All right. I'll get to it in a minute when I'm done here.
You want some of this?
It's what we do. It's what we do. So Scott made reference in that quick video that he's busy resolving a conflict. So, you know, part of what we it's not our favorite part of the job, but we do find ourselves periodically endeavoring to be peacemakers and resolving conflict, sometimes in marriages, sometimes in church family-related stuff. Watch this clip. This is about conflict resolution.
So I heard you guys had some differences about worship, and I'm here to listen.
I mean, what would you like me to say? I mean, look at him.
Yeah, I did this crazy guitar solo in worship and offered it up to the Lord, and he looks at me like I'm worshiping the devil.
He makes a mockery of the gospel.
He just keeps ragging on my style.
Jesus is the rock, and he doesn't roll.
We need more classical music.
Scripture says sing a new song, dude. New song.
Pastor Scott, I think it's time that he comes off the worship team, that you remove him immediately, and we bring back the red hymnals that Jesus sang out of.
So anyways, when we're not doing that kind of stuff, we're often called, maybe some of you have been, I want to say blessed, I hope that's the right word, but we do things like hospital visits and pastoral care and, you know, just going to people's homes and things like that to visit with them and so forth and so on. And this morning, I want to recount, some of you have heard this story before, but we realize since the church has grown, a lot of you have not had the pleasure of hearing this real-to-life story. This is, of all the things that we're presenting to you, this really happened, and I'm not lying. It really, really did happen. I've asked Jimmy if he would help me this morning. I got a call. If you could just find your way into the bed there, Jimmy. I got an invitation. On a Sunday morning, it actually started out, a lady came to me after in between church and Sunday school, and she said, would you be willing to come and visit my husband, who didn't attend church, and he's very, very ill, he's got some kind of liver disease, and I asked him if he wouldn't mind if you came and prayed for him. Would you do that? And I said, sure. And I tried to find a time that would work and she could be there. But the only time we could find was a time that she couldn't be there. The wife couldn't be there. She had to go someplace. Was the only time I was available to go. So we had been at their, Jody and I had been at their home previous to this. They had invited us over to get to know them a little bit. And so when we went for this particular visit and we walked into the home, we were only just into the home, and we were greeted by a pot-bellied pig in the house. A big one. Like this, with a head on it, about like that. His name was Charlie. So they introduced us like you would to a dog or a cat. They introduced us to Charlie. Well, when I reached out to pet Charlie on this particular visit, he started squealing like a stuck pig, if you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not a pig lover. So they graciously took the pig into a different room while we were there for the visit that evening. And we visited real nicely. So anyways, this is now weeks and months later. She asked me, the same lady says, would you please go and pray for my husband? And I said, sure, I'd be happy to do that. And so we found this time, and I'd totally forgotten about the pig. I mean, it wasn't even on my radar until I parked at the house. And as I'm walking, I'm recounting the time we went for a visit there. And she said, just don't even knock. He's in bed. He can't get out of bed. Just walk right in. And as soon as I walked in, I remembered the pig. I'm like, uh-oh, I didn't ask about the pig. So I remembered when we were there for the visit where the pig stayed. The pig lives with them in their bedroom. Right next to the bed is a bed they make for the pig. So as I go to knock on the door to see if the gentleman is in there, and his name is a real life thing, and he doesn't mind if I tell the story. I've asked him before. His name is Tom, and it's no Tom in here, okay? So I knocked real lightly, and I said, Tom, are you in there? And he said, yeah, come on in. So I opened the bedroom door, and I walk in, and I immediately look to my right, and this pig has a way of burying himself underneath the blankets they have for him, and I see it was all mounded up. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. So just to set the stage here a little bit, the pig is right here, right over in this area right here, underneath a bunch of blankets, and the door was over here. I walked in, there's a wall right here and right over there. So I walk in, and I'm standing beside the bed. I don't know this man that well at all, okay? So I said, hi, Tom. Your wife said I was supposed to come and pray for you. And so we're having, just as I'm saying that, out of the corner of my eye, I see the blanket starting to move. And I see him wiggling out front. This pig, did I tell you this thing is huge? It's this big around. It's got a head on it like that. All right. So I see movement out of the corner of my eye, and I'm trying to have a serious conversation. And yet at the same time, it's just not going well. And as the pig starts to get free from the blankets, I just move like this, and I go to this side of the bed. So now we're having the conversation. Not really. There's no conversation, really. So I've got my eye on the pig, and now he's found my trail, my scent trail. So he's following me. He's following my scent around the bed, and he gets here. And I said to Tom, I said, Tom, your pig's coming after me. Tom says, kick it in the head. I said, Tom, I'm not kicking your pig in the head. Because I'm scarred from the time I reached out to pet it and it was squealing. So I said, Tom, I said, just lay still. Just lay still. So I'm standing over top of Tom on the bed. All right? And the pig, he's here now on this side of the bed. So I went ahead and got down on this side of the bed. I kept my arms folded like this. I said, Tom, I've never had anything like this happen before. So the pig realizes I gave him the slip. You know what I'm saying? So he's backtracking, and he's coming this way. So I said, Tom, just lay still. I'm coming up again. So I wait for the pig to get over there, and I get back off on this side. I said, Tom, this isn't going well. I said, I'm going to pray for you really quick, and then I'm going to leave. So I prayed with one eye open. One eye. So the prayer went like this. Lord, Tom needs your help. In Jesus' name, amen. The pig's coming back. I said, Tom, I'm sorry. This hasn't worked out the way I didn't planned it. I said, hold still one last time. This time I got caught up in the covers and I tripped on. I said, Tom, I'm sorry. Goodbye. Then I walked out. True story. I got to tell you though, Tom got well. Tom, he did. He got well. I mean, they were talking death and the whole thing. He's still alive to this day. I see him more than I want to. So, I've never asked about the pig, Kurt. Never brought the pig up again. So, it's a lot of things like that. So, anyways, from ministering to those who aren't feeling good, it goes from that all the way over to the other end of the spectrum where we're ministering to the young among us. So watch these couple clips.
Hey kids, I got a new dodgeball for everybody.
Please, Pastor Josh, I need the ball. I want to play. Can I have the ball? Can I have the ball? Please, please, please.
Mr. Josh, that's the last of the signs. Finally got them all back up.
Hey, kids, those are my signs!
And of course, beyond that, we most of you know, you've either been a part of or you certainly have seen, if you've been around here at Pioneer long enough, you know that one of the core things that we engage with people at a level on is some kind of prayer ministry, some kind of thing where we're, you know, together, praying together, whether it's in small groups, care groups, or specifically designated prayer times. You know, as pastors, we find ourselves engaged in working with others in prayer.
Hey guys, thanks so much for coming to the meeting again, and we're going to go into a little time of prayer. Pastor Scott, if you don't mind closing us out, I'll start us off. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for this time together. We thank you so much for what you're doing and what you're going to do. I pray that you just bless all these guys here and that you'll have your traveling mercies upon them in Jesus' name.
Lord, I just want to pray for my cat right now. You know that Bubbles has really been in pain lately with the thankful that you brought him through the surgery. But I just want to ask for a continued healing for also those hairball issues, Lord, that he was having. Maybe that new food would help. You know, we had him on that old food, and then we switched to the other kind of food, hoping that that would maybe clear up the hairball issues, the urinary tract infection. We're just praying that that would be cleared out, Lord. Sorry, Lord, just a second.
Thank you for my new job and allowing me to work with people, and thank you for bringing me into this new season of my life.
Yeah, Lord, and for Timmy's job, he's not very good with people, but if there's something else for him, which there probably is, Lord, just open that door and close this one, we ask, God. Thanks so much.
Should I pray? Can't think of anything to pray. They'll think I'm not a Christian or something if I don't pray. What does he mean by, if I feel led? I don't. Maybe they need to pray for me. Maybe there's something wrong with me.
We're here today because we want to go into the depths of your love. The depths that are so deep, that are as far as the ocean, or deepness. The deepness of the deepness of the deepness, Lord. We want to go there. And we want to put scuba gear on, Lord, to get into your depths of your love, Lord.
Lord, I just thank you that I have better hair than anybody else in this group. Oh, Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. It's bad, Lord. All these presidential candidates are horrible. Oh, our country's going down the toilet. I just don't know what we're going to do, Lord. I don't see you in it at all. I don't see any hope. I don't see any future. I don't think you're on the throne anymore, Lord.
If any of you guys would like to lead out here.
In this prayer circle, Lord, we just ask you to sort it all out and make whatever you really want to happen out of all that's just been said happen in Jesus' name.
Again, those are some of the things that we're involved in throughout a given week. And the other thing that you find out as you go along the way is that there's a lot of what we call unexpected things that we never thought a week would involve. Watch.
Hey, Pastor Scott, I got a new song idea.
What is it?
I was thinking we'd do AC/DC Back in Black.
Yeah, thanks, Rick.
Because, like, after Jesus paid our debts, we're back in the black. What do you think?
Yeah.
Hi, Pastor Josh.
I'm trying to work on this cat lovers care group slide announcement thing.
There is a bat loose in Faye's apartment.
No.
And she's very upset. And I cannot find Pastor Jeff.
Why, God?
Suit up, buckaroo.
Again, that's a real life thing there. We get the call to deal with the bat next door. I'm going to ask the worship team if they'll make their way back to the platform. That was the fastest about 40 minutes ever, right? Because you're laughing and things go quicker when that happens. Again, I just want to say, please, we don't want anybody to read something into something that they shouldn't. We're just trying to remind all of us this morning that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, there's something about it, they've proven it scientifically. There's something about chemicals and hormones and everything that joy and laughter are good for us. And we should find any and every opportunity to participate. In fact, one of the reasons that, you know, after 30-some years of ministry, some ministers aren't laughing anymore. Because when you're dealing with brokenness and you're dealing with conflict resolution and you're dealing with all of those things, sometimes it just gets old, it gets weary, and people have a way of fostering resentment and bitterness and frustration and whatnot. And I just want to say to you this morning, you know, you may think this was stupid. You may think, you know, why did you waste a week trying to put something like this together? And I just want to say to you, one of the reasons is because we still can. I want to leave you with something that Henry Blackaby wrote. Some of you may have heard of him before. He's written many, many different books. He is probably one of his more famous ones or popular ones is called Experiencing God. But anyways, this is what he said. He said, "Don't be satisfied with a joyless life. There ought to be in every Christian a deep, settled fullness of the joy of Christ that no circumstance of life can dispel. This comes as you allow the Holy Spirit to express himself in your life. And as a reminder, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. Joy is unlike any happiness that this world can produce. It fills you and permeates everything you do. Jesus did not pray that you would merely be happy or even that you would escape grief. He prayed that you would have the same joy that the Father had given him, a divine joy, a joy that comes from a deep and unwavering relationship with the Father. It is a joy that is grounded so firmly in a relationship with God that no change in circumstances could ever shake it. This is the kind of joy that Christ is praying will be in you." I just wonder if you would pray with me. Father, thank you for a moment of release, Lord. Thank you for being out of breath and letting our hair down and taking a step of faith and just enjoying life, Lord. You've given this life to us. We've only got one to live. There are no redos. And I'm praying that everybody in this room, despite whatever heartaches, frustrations they have experienced to date or will experience in the future, I'm praying that you will be so deep within them that the joy of the Lord will be their strength. That they will find along the way times to laugh and times to experience your heart of joy for them. Sing over each of us, I pray. Fill our hearts with laughter, we ask. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thanks for, putting up with a little levity this morning. I trust that your heart was encouraged in some way. Scott?
Right, if you stand with us for this closing song. Joy will come as surely as the sun, and a shout will rise from my heart. You are on my side, and the victory is mine when I keep my eyes on you. Your joy overcomes when the world tries to pull me under. Your joy overcomes for me, and your peace takes control when the world all around is crazy. Your peace takes control for me. So let your peace take hold like an anchor for my soul, and the praise will rise from my heart. I will not be moved. You're the rock I hold on to. I will keep my faith in you. 'Cause your joy overcomes when the world ought to pull me under. Your joy overcomes. Your peace takes control for me. And your joy's gonna be my strength. Your peace got a hold of me, yeah. Your joy's gonna be my strength always. Joy's gonna be my strength. Your peace got a hold of me, yeah. Your joy's gonna be my strength always. Your joy's gonna be my strength. Your peace got a hold of me, yeah. Your joy's gonna be my strength always. Your joy's gonna be my strength. Your peace got a hold of me. Your joy's gonna be my strength always. Your joy's gonna be my strength. Your peace got a hold of me. Your joy's gonna be my strength always. Always. It's your joy overcomes when the world tries to pull me under. Your joy overcomes for me. Your peace takes control when the world tries to call me. Peace takes control for me. Your joy overcomes when the world tries to call me under. Your joy overcomes for me. And your peace takes control. Lord, we thank you for that joy. It's your joy, and it becomes our strength. We thank you for that. We pray that during this week ahead, whatever may come up, then the world is crazy and stuff comes up, challenges happen. May we find our joy in you. May we find our strength in your joy, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can feel free to come up for prayer if you need anything. Also, in the back, the cafe will be open for fellowship. Is there anything else? Have a great week. Thank you for being here.